Forgiveness as a theme for our readings this week is jarring. Forgiveness is a difficult theme, even in the most run-of-the-mill times of our lives. But on the week when we remember the tragic and world-changing terrorist acts of September 11th, 2001, Jesus' demanding that we forgive, those words are jarring and maybe even absurd. How can we forgive intentional evil? If Jesus had known the likes of Al-Qaeda or ISIS, he surely would have tempered his forgiveness demand. I doubt it. Certainly, evil and the harm that humans inflict upon each other has grown with the growth of population and technology, but evil and harm inflicted by human beings upon each other is nothing new. One needs not take more than a short glance into the scripture of the Old Testament to quickly run into death and destruction of whole populations, sometimes based on what seems like little more than the desire to acquire the other's property, and all the while blaming the warring desires of the human heart on our good and loving God. Those misguided intentions are still alive and well in our world, as they were in antiquity with the slaying of whole nations and the crucifixion of the one sent to show us how to live our lives in love and harmony. There's still nothing new in the human heart, and evil and hatred still exist. So what are we to do? How can we begin to forgive? There should be justice done. Prices should be paid. We want retribution so that our equilibrium can be restored. And when we look to Jesus for guidance on how to get back order and balance in our lives, Jesus says, forgive. Somehow that doesn't sound like it will make things right. Forgiving sounds like letting the person or persons who have offended or wronged us, or even acted in truly evil and harmful ways, letting them off the hook. But that really is not the case. Forgiveness is not about denial. Forgiveness is not about letting bygones be bygones and all along going our merry way as though nothing has caused harm and injury. Forgiveness is not something that we just do. It's not like flipping a light switch and having light instantaneously shine in the darkness. Forgiveness requires ongoing work and energy and intention. All of those things that we strive to avoid in our fast-paced existence. Forgiveness demands attention and our desire to forgive. It doesn't happen like the rising of the sun, although the passage of time is a reliable assistant to forgiveness. Even with time and space to aid us, we must still want to forgive. We must want to be free of the weight that we carry as long as we refuse to forgive. It's been said that someone cannot be forgiven unless they ask. That's bunk. Forgiveness most often is about not the one needing to be forgiven, although sometimes it is, but most often, forgiveness is about the forgiver, the one needing to let down the heavy burden of daily dragging resentment and ill will that accompanies the inability to forgive. There was a woman I knew several years ago. We'll just call her Doris. Doris was a miserable and unhappy woman. No one ever lived up to her standards, and nothing ever went her way. She could not find much that went right for her and took every opportunity to point out the ways in which everyone fell short of the mark that she had set in her mind. Doris's husband had left her many years before. She could never forgive him. nor any of any others who had disappointed her or wronged her. She was bitter and angry, and consequently, very few people wanted to spend any time with her. Why would you? You would only be told how you fell short or disappointed her. Doris died unhappy and pretty much alone. And you know, it is really hard to do a funeral homily for a miserable person. The good news is that in the end, and even before, God forgave Doris, and God forgives us. And we are told to forgive, not just once, not just seven times, but always, each time, every time. Again, Jesus is not calling us to be irresponsible or foolish. He's not telling us to trust those who would repeatedly break our trust or harm us. But he is telling us that we must let go of the wrongs that have been done. Not just for the one who has done the wrong, but for our own souls. In our worship together, we have opportunities for forgiveness for ourselves and for each other. Sometimes we get so caught up in the regularity and comfortable rhythm of our liturgy that we forget that there is deep meaning in everything we do. Not only is there order, but there's also an intention to that order. And at several points in our service, we engage in opportunities for forgiveness. First, and perhaps the most obvious, is confession. In Rite 1, there is a call to confession that we unfortunately rarely use and has been unfortunately taken out of the Rite 2 service. It truly describes the right attitude for beginning our way toward the Eucharist. And this is how it is the call to confession. Ye who do earnestly and truly repent you of your sin and are in love and charity with your neighbor and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God and walking henceforth in his holy ways, draw nigh with faith and make your humble confession to Almighty God, devoutly kneeling. There's no mincing words with that one. When you kneel or stand before God after that call to confession, you claim to be in love and charity with your neighbor. And you say that you are intentional about leading a new life, following the commandments of God and walking in his holy ways. That's big. Once our sins are confessed and we are given the assurance that we are absolved by God, then we pass the peace. The peace was quite controversial when it was resurrected from the earliest practices of the church. Imagine touching someone in church. The peace now sometimes resembles a meet and greet in the middle of the service, but that is not at all the intent. The peace is a continuation of the acts of confession and absolution. When we share the peace of God in the gathered community, we are not just shaking hands and greeting each other in Christ's name. We are acknowledging that the love and charity we just intended to have with our neighbor is now present. When I say to you, peace be with you, I am acknowledging a truth, that God's peace is with you and that there is peace between us. If there is not peace between us, if I cannot acknowledge you as the living embodiment of Christ, then I am not in love and charity with you and I should not come to the rail. After the passing of the peace and seeing the body of Christ within each other, we retell our story. And we pray the ancient prayer that Christ taught his disciples. In this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, we pray that we be forgiven as we have forgiven. If that one doesn't call you up short, then you're not paying attention. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Those are the words of the more ancient but seemingly newer form of the Lord's Prayer. We most often pray, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And that's a little unfortunate because trespass has lost some of its punch in our lives today. Trespass is associated mostly with property issues and keeping off property that does not belong to you. Sin is much more unsettling. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. That is what we, in effect, are saying just before we are offered the gifts of God. We should be very intentional with our words. We should be very careful about what we claim before God and each other. Wouldn't it just go so much more smoothly for us if Jesus had left some footnotes or loopholes in his instructions for his followers? Forgive those who just made a little unintentional error against you, not those who crashed jetliners into the workplace of thousands of innocent people. Forgive those who stole that parking place that you had been waiting for at the grocery store, not the one who bankrupted your pension plan. Forgive on Sundays and major feast days, but not on days in the office or Saturdays at home. That would be better, but that would not be Jesus. Jesus says, forgive. Do the hard work. Take the time. Put down your ego and your righteous indignation and take on the way that leads to peace. Understand that each one of us is the body of Christ in the world right now, needing to be forgiven and may accept forgiveness. Amen.